You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this Wednesday, May the 2nd, 2018, and I'm John B. from GangreneNation.com. Thank you for joining us today. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or Spotify, and we will deliver it to your device each morning so you can listen to us wherever you feel like it. And if you really enjoy the show, please leave us a good review in iTunes. Certainly appreciate it. The pick of Sam Darnold has the potential to be a franchise changer for the New York Jets, and in many ways it's due to tangible reasons. He plays the most important position on the field. In the NFL, you need a quarterback. Having a quarterback alone does not necessarily guarantee you success. The Indianapolis Colts with Andrew Luck have shown us that, but you really do need a quarterback to win in this league. And, you know, everybody who's dismissing this idea because they're saying, look at the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, look at the Philadelphia Eagles. For most of the season, they had Carson Wentz, who played like an MVP candidate. And then in the playoffs, their backup came off the bench and played phenomenal football. You're telling me that proves that quarterback play is not important in this league? The fact that they won the Super Bowl with their backup quarterback playing great, that's the proof that quarterback's important. So that's I think that's a given, and the Jets have been trying to address that position for a very long time. And there have been good seasons sprinkled in here or there. There have been promising guys here or there. But in terms of finding a long-term franchise quarterback, I think you can make a legitimate argument that the Jets have been searching for one since Joe Namath. And I know you may quibble with that a little bit. You may have a name here or there. There were a few seasons of success for certain guys, but really, if we're talking about long-term, elite-level quarterback play, Jets have not gotten it since Namath. And the hope is that that is what Darnold will provide. And there's quite a bit of optimism on that front. I mean, Darnold's obviously a guy who was quite highly regarded by a lot of people in the know, and a lot of people would tell you he was the best quarterback in this draft class. But I'd like to talk about bigger picture, because I think picking Darnold is important for other reasons. You know, we always hear teams talk about culture. You hear the general manager talk about it. It becomes kind of a buzzword in the media. It's very difficult to define, though. Whenever a new regime takes over, you hear about how the culture is changing, and we've heard about that a lot with the Jets. When this regime first took over, the culture was changing. Last year, lots of talk in the locker room about the cultures changing, you know, things like that, things to that extent. But Darnold is a guy who actually could change the culture around this team, and I really feel that way. And I'd start off by just pointing out that the Jets, it really feels like the Jets finally caught a break, and this is just a franchise where they just get no good luck. That's just the feeling you get when you watch this team for years and years and years. It's just like nothing ever goes right for this team. They just can't catch a break. And in a lot of ways, I feel like they kind of, for once, something good finally happened for this team. Finally, something broke right for them. And it was Darnold falling to 3. Now, in many ways, you make your own breaks. The Jets traded up to 3, and they didn't know Darnold was going to fall to them. They took a calculated gamble, and it looks like it's going to pay. Now, I can never 100% guarantee you that there's going to be a guy who has success in this league. But to win in this league, it's not a question of are you lucky. It's not a question of are you good. You have to be both. You have to make smart moves, and you have to get a little lucky. You know, the great example everybody uses is the Patriots with Tom Brady. If you're a big Patriots fan, you'll talk about how smart their scouting was that they found the greatest quarterback ever in the sixth, arguably the greatest quarterback ever in the sixth round. I'm sure I'm going to catch some heat for calling him the greatest quarterback ever. Arguably the greatest quarterback ever. They got him in the sixth round, some great scouting acumen by the Patriots. And then if you don't like the Patriots, you may say, well, they just got lucky. And the truth is both sides are right. Now, you can't give the Patriots too much credit because they did pass on him over and over again until he fell to the sixth round, you know. If they really knew he was going to be that good, they would have drafted him much earlier. At the same time, it's not like they were randomly assigned Brady. there was something they saw in him. There were attributes that they liked. So it was a little bit, it was some luck, and it was them being good. And they, of course, they developed Brady. And, you know, I'll give you another example because Brady is kind of the extreme. But how about the Baltimore Ravens? If you remember back 11 years ago in the 2007 draft, there were all kinds of reports that they wanted to get Brady Quinn. They wanted to trade up for Brady Quinn, who was just a total flop in the NFL. He was a quarterback prospect out of Notre Dame, went in the first round to the Cleveland Browns. And if they had gotten Brady Quinn, they would not have drafted Joe Flacco the next year. And I know Flacco's kind of hit a mid-career slump. He really has not lived up to the contract he got after the Ravens won the Super Bowl, but they did win a Super Bowl with him. The Baltimore Ravens don't have that second Super Bowl. They didn't win that championship in 2012, the 2012-2013 season, unless they have Joe Flacco. If they have Brady Quinn there, forget about it. So you have to be lucky and you have to be good, because the Ravens wanted Brady Quinn. There were all kinds of reports about it, and they tried to make a deal for it. They tried to maneuver in the draft to trade for the pick they could use to take Brady Quinn. They didn't get it. So that was luck, but it was also it was also smart business the next year to go get Joe Flacco. So in the NFL, so many things are just not about being good. It's also about being lucky, because everybody makes mistakes. So sometimes the best move is the one you don't make. And part of me wonders, not just with Darnold falling to number 3 overall, but also the Jets, we know they really wanted Kirk Cousins. They made a big push for Kirk Cousins in the offseason, and you wonder whether maybe Cousins turning them down is a blessing in disguise, and I don't want to reopen that debate. But the Jets, you also have to give the Jets credit, because they moved up. So it's a little bit of both. It's smart decisions and luck. But I feel like Darnold kind of sets them up in a way that you wouldn't necessarily feel with, you know, Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen or Josh Rosen, who were the three other candidates. And, you know, it's funny, because leading up to the draft, it was going to be one or two guys. I think we all kind of got the sense that it was going to be one of two guys. It was either going to be Mayfield or it was going to be Rosen. Now, during the season, Allen was getting a lot of buzz with this team. But and you know, he has the, you know, he's the guy, he checks all the boxes for like the, you know, the old school scouts, you know, guys you'd think Mike Maccagnan was kind of like, and he showed attributes that Maccagnan's liked in quarterback prospects he's drafted in the past. So during the season, Allen seemed like he'd be in play, and then he kind of fell off the radar a little bit as a draft day approach, which I'm sure many people were happy about, because Allen was a very unpopular player in large sections within this fan base. But Darnold just, you know, a lot of people just view Darnold as the best overall prospect. He's kind of been the consensus number one pick for a year or so, and he just doesn't have all the other guys, you know, there are certain questions about them, whether it's Rosen's durability, whether it's Mayfield, how he'll adjust to a pro system, height. I mean, lots of questions around Mayfield and Allen. I mean, I don't need to tell you about Allen. Allen had questions about his production, and I actually am a little higher on Allen than a lot of people, but there's no doubt Allen's a risky prospect. Whereas Darnold has his issues, but I think Darnold, a lot of people view him as more pro-ready than other prospects. So, you know, in a lot of ways, maybe that's just something that gets people thinking in a more positive mindset. The fact that something finally went good for the Jets, that you're not instinctively expecting something to go wrong. If you follow sports, and I'm not just talking about the NFL, but if you follow any professional sport, you just know there are certain teams that are very snake-bitten. They have a tough time winning in a big spot. They can never come through. And there are some matchups. There are some matchups, team versus team, where one team just has the other team's number. And, you know, there were famous examples that have been ended in baseball when you talk about the Boston Red Sox and the Chicago Cubs. And some of the explanations get kind of mystical, whether there's a curse, somebody put a curse on a team. And I don't really believe in curses, but I do believe that these teams kind of end up battling their own history, because I think it's only natural when you hear it, it just becomes part of the team's culture. You go through day to day and you hear about how this team never delivers in the big spot. You hear about it from the media, you hear about it from the fans, and you just always get the sense that it shows up in big spots. And in many instances, these tortured teams have a tormentor who always beats them in a big spot. And for the Jets, I think it's pretty obvious. That's the New England Patriots, who have won 5 Super Bowls, been to a couple others since 2001. And, you know, every time the Jets and Pats are playing a game, it doesn't matter how much the Jets lead, it doesn't matter how big their lead is. Brady's got the ball in the fourth quarter, down a score. You always have the sense of doom from the Jets side, and you get the feeling the players do too. It's just something that has become part of the Jets culture, that the Jets can't win in the big spot, that they're never going to come through against the Patriots. You just have a sense of doom I really do think that kind of encapsulates. I think that comes over a team. I think it's kind of a dark cloud that hovers over a team, and you can't help it because you hear about it nonstop. So something you have to do, you know, you have to do something to change the culture. And I wonder whether maybe this is the type of thing where you have a leader, you have a guy you can go to battle with. And I'll tell you, the other night I was online and I was reading, it was during the draft, and people were terrified that Rosen was going to go to Miami, or, you know, Buffalo was going to get a franchise quarterback, or the Patriots were going to draft their successor to Brady. And I saw people fearing it. And that kind of shows you the mindset of this franchise. And that's something that's got to change. And you hope Darnold will change it, because the franchises that are great, and again, not just in the NFL, but in the professional sports, they don't care. They're confident. They kick ass and take names, for lack of a better expression. And that's where you want the Jets to get. You want the Jets to have so much faith in themselves that it doesn't matter what the other team does. That's what you want. I'll say this. You know, I had a lot of criticisms about the way Rex Ryan ran the Jets, whether you talk about discipline, whether you talk about offense, various approaches he has. But there was one thing he did that I think he got absolutely right, and I say it to this day, is he tried to instill a different mindset in this franchise. He tried to take out that mentality that the Jets weren't good enough. And, you know, he said stuff like, I'm not here to kiss Belichick's rings. And that generated a lot of buzz. It generated a lot of headlines. But it was the perfect mentality, because the Jets had to get it out of their minds that they were second-class citizens, that they were playing second fiddle to the Patriots. The Jets needed to have the mindset that they could do it. I mean, as silly as it sounds, those first 2 years with Rex Ryan, you actually felt like the Jets could stand toe-to-toe with the Patriots. They could take them down. They had that great win week 2, 2009, with the stadium. I mean, you could feel the electricity even if you were watching TV in the stadium, how excited that, and when they stymied the Patriots, or, of course, the year later in the playoffs when they went into Foxborough and beat the Patriots. And it didn't actually last. It didn't even really last through the entire Rex Ryan era. But it was just so great. It was such a breath of fresh air to, like, actually have a coach who disregarded this fear that the Jets had, this sense of doom that the Jets had. And I remember after that win in against the Patriots, he made the comment, same old Jets, back in the AFC Championship game, which, of course, proved to be fleeting success. But it was such a breath of fresh air, just because he actually tried to instill it in the players and instill it in the fan base. The Jets were good enough. The Jets could stand toe-to-toe with anybody in the league. And that's the type of attitude you have to have. And he tried to put to bed that phrase, that awful three-word phrase. And if you know me, I hate this phrase, same old Jets, because it's such a meaningless phrase and it's such a losing mentality. It's just the type of thing that's frustrated me through this fan base. I understand the Patriots. Look, you have to have respect for what the Patriots have done, but if you go in thinking that you're playing for a wild card every year, if you think you're going to lose, if you have that doubt in the back of your mind, and I'm not just talking about the players, I'm talking about the fan base, because I think the players feed off what they hear from the fans, from the media, and I could never prove it, you could never quantify it, but you have to get that mentality out of your head. And when you have a quarterback, it's the type of thing that kind of instills that mentality. And maybe the first step is getting a little, you know, first of all, making a great move. And I think that's the first thing I want to say, because I have to give Mike Maccagnan credit, because he took a calculated gamble, and I liked it at the time, and it looks like it's going to pay off. I think it's going to pay off. I'm not, again, you can never say with 100% certainty. So that's what I want to say that first. I want to say before we talk about the role of luck, that great job by Maccagnan, but also finally getting a break, perhaps the right quarterback falling to you. I'll close today by just talking about how this fan base really deserves something good to happen to it. This fan base has suffered quite a bit. The Jets have not made it easy on their fans through their moves, through their performance on the field, their performance in big games. I mean, they've done You look at this last 7, 8 years. They've not done much right, and you go back 50 years. We're going on 50 years without a Super Bowl. They've gotten things wrong more often than not, which has kind of fed into the mentality, which I was discussing, and it's certainly bred a degree of pessimism within large portions of this fan base. And I'll tell you, I don't think that kind of pessimism manifests itself in any way that's more clear than this past season, where we were hearing about how people were happy about 5-11. People were talking about what a good season, how they beat expectations, and I mean that's exactly the type of pest. I mean that's just. When you don't think your team is good enough to be that 5-11, when 5-11 is viewed as an accomplishment, I mean, that's just, I don't blame anybody who has that view, but that type of pessimism, we're so bad, we're not good enough to expect more than 5-11. Again, you want a team that's going to kick ass and take names. And perhaps this move will finally turn the tide, where standards will be higher, people will be excited, people will believe that the Jets can do more. That's the hope, and you hope that both tangibly on the field, because getting quarterback is the most important position, but also just in the collective mindset of the team and its fans, maybe this is a turning point. So those are my thoughts for the day. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe. Options include iTunes and Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes if you enjoy it. Hope you have a great Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow.